that was equal with God. He came down here, and he became a man to die for us, his people. And now we have God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to look unto through Christ Jesus. Verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16, that he would grant you, it is a gift. It's not something that you work for or earn. It's always a mercy. It's always a grace. It's undeserved. If I've been serving Christ for 50 years, I'm still at the mercy of God. It's still a gift. I haven't earned anything with God in all of my life as a Christian. Who did I earn? Who earned stuff for us? Who earned our salvation?
Jesus.
He did it at the cross. And everything that God gives us is a gift. Does he owe us anything? Does he owe us anything?
Yes.
Yes. On what basis? And then I approach him and I say, look, Lord, I've done this, and you owe me.
No.
Everything is a gift of grace. Salvation is by grace from start unto finish and everywhere in between is the gift of God. I never earn anything. It's always given unto us freely because of Jesus Christ and the goodness of God the Father. And the only way that I'm going to be able to perform this goodness of the Christian life is by who? The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I need. Most expertly. But I only get the Holy Spirit's power if I'm looking unto
Jesus
Christ. In the beginning, in the book of John 1, when John the Baptist, he could not see Christ. He could not know who Christ is. But the Spirit came in the form of a dove and abode on Christ Jesus. He abided on Christ. And that's how John knew who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit identified him. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And then when I see Christ, then it's the job of the Holy Ghost to work inside of us with power to live the Christian life. So, if my eyes aren't on Christ Jesus, can I live the Christian life? If our eyes aren't on Christ Jesus, can we live the Christian life? I'm not talking about being moral. I can be moral or be liberal. I'm not talking about attending church. I can hop in a car and go. Well, I'm okay. I'm not talking about being outwardly Christian in the eyes of people. I'm talking about from the inside with power can we live the Christian life if our eyes are on Christ Jesus. Can we live the Christian life if our eyes are not on Christ Jesus?
No.
No way, Jose. No way, Jose. And if my eyes are on Christ Jesus, what is it I see? Watch, watch. The glory of God has a big subject. What is the glory of God? In hell, is there the presence? Is there the presence of God in hell? He's punishing. Is the presence of God everywhere?
Yes.
But it isn't in his glory. It's a key. Is we have to use words and understand their meaning. We have to be biblical and we can't just take phrases and repeat them. But what does it mean? Who do I worship? How do I worship? Who is God? What is his glory? He has his glory in creation. But will that is the creation able to save my soul?
No.
So what is the glory of God? How he saves filthy sinners by faith in his son's blood. How he saves us and he restores us, he reconciles us unto himself. By paying for our sins himself on the cross. How he can choose us from before the foundation of the world and bring us to salvation and everlasting life through faith in Christ Jesus. How all that the Father gives him shall come to him. And he's made atonement for our souls. And so that God, he can be just, and he can justify. He can be righteous, and he can forgive sins. How can God be just and forgiving except through the cross? That's where mercy and truth have met, and that's where righteousness and peace has kissed. He can put away our sin. He can punish us. Through faith in Christ, he can receive us back into his family by faith in his son's blood. He has been justified in the forgiving of our sins because he paid for them himself in his son. Right? That's the glory of God. His sovereign mercy. How he can choose you and save you, even though you and I are sinners, horrible sinners, who hate God by nature. What is the difference in between Jacob and Esau? What's the difference? That's a big word. He said mercy. I like that. It's the love of God. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I sinned. And he did that when? Before the children were born. He said, each of these two, his whole being will be a filthy sinner. Each of these two will hate me and despise me and reject me if I leave them unto themselves. But Jacob, I love. And what did he do with Jacob? saved his soul. He revealed himself. He taught him gospel. He changed him. He transformed him. He brought him to heaven and he died. And what did he do unto Esau? He punished him. He let him sin. He left him unto himself. And he will die in his own sins, and the wrath of God will be poured out on him for eternity. Sovereign mercy is God choosing us for salvation, then saving us by the cross, then bringing us unto himself, and orchestrating everything that ever happened to save our souls. It was not by accident. It was not by human will, God. It was the gift of God. And that's why when Paul says that I'm praying, I bow my knees, that he would grant you, that he would get thanksgiving, as the same one who called us from the beginning would grant us more understanding in the life of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. And I go to God in my Bible for this gift that I need more than life itself. I don't need to be alive, but I need to serve our Lord Jesus. And the only way that I can do this is if I get my power from God. Because without Him, I can do nothing. Have you been there? Have you? And I try to live the Christian life in our own strength. Everyone has. I have. I've been 18 years in my own strength. Oh, wretched man, I was trying hard, struggling. But then I finally realized I could do nothing. And when I realized that, I went into my Bible and got strength from God. And then the Christian life, it can be lived. And it's the mud, it's the quicksand that's holding you back. It can be overcome and you can fly around. And you can live it because the power is from God and not yourself.
That's key. So, verse number 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to save a sinner. His mighty goodness. To be strengthened, how? With might, how? Through his spirit in the inner man. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do we really?
If we really believe in the Holy Spirit, we will try to do nothing of the Christian life without Him. And the Lord Jesus said you can't do most things. No? He did not say that you can't do great things if you don't have Him. And the Lord Jesus said you can't do anything unless you have your eye on it. I can do nothing spiritually, Jesus. I can preach, but it's only in the flesh. It won't please God. I can pray, but it's only in the spirit if my eyes are by faith in Christ, praying unto God. You can live out of it, but you can't live inside your soul. Because the Holy Spirit comes with power. It's what we need. It's desperate. It's desperate. As I was talking to someone last night, this young lady, my friend online, and I was telling her how this is survival. This is a matter of life and death. As to what she is telling me is her soul is drained and she can't pray and she feels so far off from God. And I'm telling her, we need to get to Christ every day or we can't do it. You hear me? It's the manna that fell down out of heaven. It fell for how many days?
And so each week,
is the following one day? It's the sixth day. And what did God tell us? Just kick back, you know, roll up your feet, and I'll put the bread inside your mouth. Is that what he told us? What did he tell us? Is that 6 days you shall go out and you shall gather. Every day we see the bread of Christ. And on the seventh day, it's the Sabbath, you shall do nothing. What does that teach us? That Jesus Christ did all the work in the gospel. And everything that me and you do is by faith. If I'm reading Bible, I'm not paying God. Hey, God, I brought my Bible. I've been reading it for 30 minutes. I won't let him go. Is that going to work? Hey, God, I've been in church more than anybody else. I haven't missed any meetings. Is that going to work? Hey, God, I'm a pastor and a missionary. I've been traveling all over the world preaching for Jesus Christ. Hey, God, I'm not a fornicator. If I fast twice each week, is that going to work? Hey, God, I give all of my money unto the poor. Is that going to work? Nothing is going to work but by faith in Christ Jesus. And when I say faith, I'm talking about he loves me. I'm going unto God with how much he loves me and what he has done to put away our sins. Is that going to work? Is it going to work? Stand in doubt. That's the way. That's the way. I'm trusting his blood he shed for me, God. I'm trusting in your promises. I'm trusting in your goodness. I'm not owed anything. You cannot pay me. But you can give me, you can grant me power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life as you promised. Because Christ said that without you, him, the Spirit, I can do, I'm helpless as a baby in a lion's den, O Lord. But for Jesus' sake, have mercy on my soul and grant me power. Is he going to do it? That's his word. Let's keep reading. And this strength that's in the Spirit is in the inner man. It's in the real you. It's real Christianity, real Christian living. Verse number 17. Here's how we get it. That Christ, this strength, that Christ, this power I need, is Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, through believing the gospel, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Who's love? Is it my mother's love? Oh, my mother's love. It is specifically in the text, it's the love of who? Huh? That's who said God? That better be shot. And who said Christ? In the text is the love of Christ. And he's talking about something specific. There is no love of God for me and you all except through Christ Jesus. If I think about the love of God, it's in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ, there's only wrath. He'll punish you. He hated the worker of iniquity. His soul hated it. To destroy us in the lake of fire. And his wrath, his anger, he'll spot out our sins, our transgressions. Our best efforts are not good enough at all. Not in the sight of God. But through Christ Jesus, I'm accepted. The sinner that I am is accepted. Are you still a sinner? You still sin? Then you are a... The Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man I am. Is he better than he you in his conduct? Oh, he is. He preached, he's faulty, and has much more faith. But he's still a sinner in his flesh. He's not perfect. Hear me. Every thought I think that's not perfect love towards God and perfect love towards my neighbor, equal to myself, every thought is what? It must be perfect to be accepted by God. It can fool men, not him. It can appease men, but not him. Not him. All of our good works are only accepted out. What makes God accept your prayer? Accept your giving? Accept your love towards him and your neighbor, even though it's not perfect. What makes him accept? It's done by faith in Jesus Christ. And so he separates the precious from the vile. He says, this vile, I've already paid for. This precious, I accept. Because I did it inside you in the power of the Holy Ghost. Right?
That you being rooted and grounded in love, verse number 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Let me ask you a question. Are all saints equally loved by God? Is Mary equally loved by God as a prostitute who comes into faith in Christ right now in this moment? Is the missionary that laid down his life, is he equally loved by God as the prostitute that just heard the gospel at this moment and believed? Yes. All saints, pastors and people, are equally loved by God because he took the same blood to redeem. He had to give the same gift of his son. Our acceptance is not by what we do. It's by what he has done. It's not that which I give God that makes me acceptable. It's what God gave me.
If you remember, it's in the book of John, chapter number 13, is the end of the chapter. And Peter told our Lord Jesus that he would die for him. And the Lord Jesus said that before the rooster crowed three times, he would deny. What is the next word that came out of our Lord Jesus' mouth? As a butcher pulled it, it's a blue. But in John, as the Lord Jesus said, you will deny me. Is your bragging, is your boasting? You will deny me. But the next word out of his mouth, it is what? That's in Luke. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, I believe also in me. He said, Peter, I'm going to die for you. And our relationship is not based on you dying or doing anything for me. Our relationship is based upon me doing for you. And so let me ask you a question. If you think about, and as you think about, your relationship with God through Christ, what is the basis? What are you thinking about all day as you seek to worship God and serve God? Is it how you are doing? Or is it what he has done? Is it you or him? Is your Christianity focused on yourself or on Jesus Christ? That's a question, isn't it? It gets into the heart. It's a dagger in the heart. It's a probing question. Answer honestly in your soul. What's it based on? What are you looking at all day? Is it you and your performance of Christ Jesus? He's already said that without me you can do nothing. If you're looking at yourself, you will accomplish nothing. Nothing. Oh, wretched man I am, is Paul looking at himself. I do the things I hate, I don't do the things I want to do, I'm a mess, I'm a filthy wretch, but then he got his eyes up. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And the law, and so now the Spirit of God is going to help me live the Christian life. Is your mind carnal? Or is your mind spiritual? Is my mind spiritual? What is my mind on? What is the job of the Holy Spirit? It's to show me who. If I'm spiritually minded, if my mind is on Christ Jesus and his work on the cross, his love towards me, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gospel. If the gospel is not something I heard all the way back at the beginning of the Christian life, but as of now I got to live this Christian life on my own, my struggling, my striving, if I'm doing that, I'm doing absolutely nothing that's pleasing unto God. It can look good to people, it's religion, but it can't please God. It can't love. It can't serve souls. It's after itself. It is doing everything to be seen by men, and to be seen by God, and to be seen by itself. And that is self-righteousness, you got. That's unacceptable. But if I'm spiritually minded, I'm looking unto Jesus. If I'm carnally minded, am I watching porn? If I'm carnally minded, I might be. But it means more than that. to be carnally minded is to be focused on myself.
Me.
How righteous I am, how good I am, all the rules I keep, I'm keeping track of myself. I'm a carnally minded person. But if I'm spiritually minded, I'm confessing my sins and I'm keeping track of Jesus. And He's working inside me, you with power.
Yeah, you hear me?
Is this the truth?
Yes,
it's the truth.
And everything we're saying, we're just quoting scriptures. It's just all scriptures. Even if I'm not quoting you the verse, this is all scripture that we're talking about. It's in the scriptures. It's in the Word of God, properly read. Verse number 18. So, it's to be rooted and grounded in love, and it's to be able to comprehend, to understand, it's with all saints. What is the width, the length, the depth, and height to know the love of Christ? Is that my love for Christ, or is that Christ's love for me? Christ's love for me and you, all the saints, everybody that's in Christ Jesus, everyone who has faith. It's the width, length, depth, and height. So width is how wide is it? As to how wide is the love of Christ?
Is it wide enough to include even me and you? Did it include our brother Jacob? Is he the love of Christ? Did it include our brother Jacob? Don't be shy. Did you know the answer? Did you know the scripture in your mind? Don't be scared of the things that you know. Jacob, I love. It included him. It included us if we have faith in Christ. Did it include Esau?
No.
Who joined us out?
Who?
That's only half. It is true, Esau chose to hate God. But it's also true that Jacob chose to love God because God had chosen him. God Almighty does not choose everybody for salvation. There are many people in hell for all of eternity. But He chose me and you after we discussed it. Even though we are sinners, as vile as anyone in the world. Is there any foreign stuff that's more unholy than us by nature? There are some women here who have never slept with anybody but their husband. Is your flesh any better than a porn star who sleeps with men for money? Are you any better? Not any better at all. That would be self-righteousness. And it would disqualify me from Christ, who only came to save sinners. And is to whom I'm chief also. Not the world. You men. Is there anybody that's more righteous and more is more worthy of you of the grace of God? Is anybody? Is anybody more worthy? If the boy was actually born in church on Sunday morning, his first word is hallelujah. Is he more worthy? There isn't anybody that's more worthy than you, because Christ came to save sinners. That's how God includes you.
What's the link? What's the link of his love?
As to when did he start to love us? When did he start? Creation, a foundation, but when we get sinners, did he start to love me after I changed and began to do good? No. So even when I don't do good, he can't change from his life. Is he going to love us unto eternity and eternity and eternity? Is it ever going to end? Is it ever going to stop? Are we ever going to fall away from trust in Jesus Christ? Are we ever going to fall away if we truly trust in Jesus Christ? Is it possible? Can I lose my salvation? That's my question. Can I lose it? So, if I've been chosen by God and predestined by God, I can lose my salvation that He gives me Himself in my heart, in a new heart, in a new nature, in the sanctification of the Spirit. He said, I give them the down payment of the Holy Ghost unto the redemption of the purchased possession. How can I lose what God chose them to give me? Hear me. Can Jacob lose his salvation? Can Jacob lose his salvation? Can Esau, can he have salvation and lose it?
Hear me on this thing.
Hear me on this thing. And we need to be crystal clear on this. Salvation is by grace. It's not by works. Salvation includes good works. Everybody that God has chosen unto salvation is going to be saved because they are going to persevere unto the end. Can Peter lose his salvation? If he could, is he good? Can we lose our salvation? If we could, we would. If it's up to us, I'm going to heaven. If it's up to God, I'm saying. But can Judas, can he lose his salvation? Can Judas lose his salvation? No! He never had it. Have not I chosen you 12 that one of you is a devil? He knew from the beginning who was betraying him. He was chosen to be an apostle because it was written that this friend has lifted up his seal against me. So, if the betrayer had to be an apostle, his friend, who had seen all of everything of his glorious goodness and despised and rejected it, yet to show the hypocrisy of betrayal with a kiss. But he was not chosen unto salvation. Everyone chosen to salvation is saved unto the end. And so he started to love us with.
He started
to love us from before the salvation.
How long ago? How long ago?
It's in the Bible. This is how we know how long ago it was. Can God ever learn anything? Is there anything He doesn't know? Because the Bible says that known unto God are all His ways, even unto them. How long has God been found? We don't know. But from forever, He has been God. From forever, He has loved us. His plan A has always been the redemption of our souls by faith in Christ Jesus. It was His plan from long ago. And can anything stop? Anybody stop? No.
That's the man. What's the death? What's the death?
How deep is the Savior's love?
How deep?
How low did He go for you? What did He endure on the cross? God. But it was more than just a regular death. Right? Is it the nails? Is it the thorns? Is it the spear in the side? As to what killed Him? Our sins killed Him up. I got sin on my body. I'm alive. Because I was in my sin before I heard the gospel. It is millions of people in Nigeria are in their sin now, but they're still grieving. What killed Him? Is He suffocated? Is He nailed? What killed Him? Our sin, God. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. God killed Him. The wrath of God came upon Him inside His soul. So, very literally, He went to hell upon the cross and paid for our sins. Because hell is separation from God and the wrath of God. That's why He said, my God, I have. It wasn't man's punishment. That can't put away sins. If we beat Him, if we slit His throat, His throat right now is Salah. There's slaughtering rams. It can't take away sins. And if me and you slaughtered Christ, if we whipped Him, if we kicked Him, if we stabbed Him, if we shot Him in the head, it would not put away a single sin. It's not just His death. It's not just the fact of God. He suffered in that. And what did He suffer? But the wrath of God. That's why our sins are there. That's why they are atoned. They have paid the full penalty already in Christ Jesus. I paid. By faith in Christ, I know I paid. How long did He go? He went to hell for me and you on the cross. He went all the way under the wrath of God. And He suffered away our sins with love stronger than death. How high is His love? What's the highest? How high will it take us? Me and you, we go from earth into paradise. He told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That's high. It says in the Bible that me and you are sat down at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. As high as he is, that's as high as me and you are. He's ahead. Me and you are his body. With the bride of Christ. And we shall be one with him. And we will be in paradise forever. And the pleasure of God, the eternal God, is going to look at Christ. And based upon him, and because of him, he's going to reward us with kindness for all eternity. There will be no more doubt. No more fear, no more shame, but only the glory of God for all eternity. Now, that is what you can set your mind on. That which me and you have just been talking about is the gospel. And we're to set our minds on things above, not on the earth. That includes myself and my performance. I'm going to have my mind on the riches I have in Christ Jesus. And if I do that, what's going to happen unto me and the Christian life? How have I done it? With power. That's in the text.
That's in the text. Is it to know, verse number 19, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is rejected and started, if we look at it all day or the rest of our life, we just got started in knowing. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the Christian life. That's holiness of character. That's love towards my neighbor. That's happiness. That's peace. That's contentment. That is submission unto God's will. That the love of Christ is working powerfully in our heart to show us Christ is the work of who? Is who shows us Christ Jesus? Is it the preacher? It's our brain. It's the Holy Spirit because he uses the preacher and he uses our brain, but he shows us himself. And without him, our brain and the preacher mean absolutely nothing. It won't get my soul. I can understand the concept, but not in my heart. Power. But when the Holy Ghost shows it, I've got power. I've got something to live by. I've got strength to live the Christian life. Verse number 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Is that talking about a Mercedes? Is it talking about an American visa? Is it talking about even a grand meeting of my body? It's talking about his holiness, his character, his conduct in the Christian life. That me and you might be filled with the fullness of God, the power of God, according unto the power that works in us. He can make us more content.
He can make us more loving. He can make us more kind. He can make us more faithful. He can make us more self-sacrificing. He can make us more good unto our neighbor than we ever imagined. And here's my question. Is are you interested? And so I go to places and I hear all kinds of preaching. And I asked the patient, says, if the preacher is offering a house, money, car, this is your gift. It's gonna be your visa, and I see you in the U.S., and I see you in the U.K. And I see it. I see that God Almighty gives you clothes. Is God deceiving or are they interested? These are the things of the kingdom. And the Lord Jesus offered them no bread, but he offered them bread of life. And all the people had their lives on it was money and miracles. That's all they wanted. And he said, no, I'm the bread of life. He that eats me will never die. And the people said, I'll fool me on that. I don't want that. I don't want everlasting life. I need a car and money. Give me money. Is that what they expected? I come as an American preacher to give you Christ Jesus, not money. Something more valuable than precious. If I wanted money, I wouldn't be here. I'm from California. I just stay right there. I want something more precious. To your souls and the glory of God. How about you? He will give you inside. He will give us everlasting life. He will give us power and peace. He will make us live the Christian life as our eyes are on Him. And if our eyes are on Him, I'm focusing on His. That's good. But it's dark. It's in the text. That you may know me. It's in the text. It's in the text. What is it? What did the text say? The love of Christ. If I'm a spiritual life, if I'm focused on Christ, I'm focused on how much He loves me. And but He has given me and you by the cross, and the benefits of His cross and His suffering, and this everlasting life and salvation that He gives us freely when we are unworthy of it. The gift of God as eternal life. Now, is that going to work inside of our hearts and power? Is it going to work?
Absolutely. 100%. Because it's without Him you can do. It's just flesh. And so to Him be glory in the church. That's what He gives us. The ability to bring glory unto God. If I'm in a wheelchair or if I'm in the police. If I'm handsome or if I'm twisted up. If I'm articulate or if I can hardly talk, that doesn't matter. As long as I glorify God from my heart and from my life, I've got it all. I've got it all. That's what God did. And if you want it, it's yours. Come and take it. How do I take it?
I believe the gospel.
I believe it's mine. That's what Christ said. I have all of these things. That's eyes on Christ. That's eyes on Christ. Unto Him be glory in the church to all generations forever and ever. Let's go back into the book of John in chapter number 15. And so are there any questions on that? To know the love of Christ. Verse number 9. As the Father loved me, I'm in John chapter 15:9. I also have loved you. Continue in my love. What does that mean? It's the last one that will be done.
Continue in my love. As the Father has loved me, I love you. Does the Father love Christ?
Yes.
And does Christ actually love you?
Yes.
What does it mean to continue in love?
It's to share his orders. To spend his orders.
Not yet. If we keep going in the text, is he going to tell us, this is what I command, and it's not good? But he's still talking about his love.
Look again at verse number 9 and look at the words, and this is something that will really help
and me. Look at the text. Don't think if read and understand the text. What does the text say?
As the Father has loved me,
so have I loved you. Abide in it or continue in my love. Don't doubt my love. Keep on believing that I love you, even when things turn upside down. Even when trials come. Even when things happen that you don't want to happen. Does he still love me? Listen to me now. If you kill a family, does he still love
me? Yes.
If I'm praying for a person and they die unsaved, does he still love
me? Yes.
In trial, in tribulation, in trouble. If we don't get what we want, does he still love me? If so, if many of you believe that, what's going to happen unto us? What's going to happen unto my character if I'm in a trial and I believe from my heart he still loves? It's in wisdom. It's in goodness. He said no out of kindness. I wanted this so bad. It's my daughter. It's my wife. It's sick. It's my child. It's dying. And she died. Does he, if I believe, he still loves me? What's going to happen in my character? I'm praying God. I'm going to weep my tears and bring glory unto God. I'm going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and he takes. I'm heartbroken, but I praise the Holy Name. That brings honor and glory unto God. It's not about getting all the stuff that we want in life. He knew us that if, would you give a child everything that she wants? If you know what's better for her, that the Almighty God, he tells us no because he rules our life. And it's for his glory that we're in the world. And the world does not revolve around us, it revolves around him. And he's worthy to rule us because he saved our soul. And whatever he does is right. Now, instead of the pastor actually thinking, oh, I got to come in here every Sunday and make these promises unto the people, and everything is going great. If you give, and the Lord will bless your business. He might not go. It's a man that gave to support me in Africa 4 years. It's been twice He's called me and said, I can't no longer give. Once he was under COVID, he lost his business. Everything in the U.S. shut down. And praise God. And the second time was just a couple of weeks ago. Is he sent me a message, as of this day, I can no longer support you with anything. Uh, 65% of my income was gone in a year. But here's my question. Does he still love me? Is he growing to the body? And if not, I die hungry until the glory of God. It will come a day he will stop providing us in these bodies. And we're going home to paradise. But until then, he will bring us out of every trial for his glory. And he may purge us in order best to make us able to tell somebody else from our hearts, this is going to be all right. Just trust in Christ Jesus. He loves you, and he did it, and he wisdom. And if he can change things, and he chooses not to, it's only because he loves you. If he says no, it's only because he loves you. If the girl that you want to marry so bad, if she pulls out all of a sudden just before the wedding, he loves you, and he put that no in your mind. It is important unto his word. And then we can honor God in our heart. And so when I come up to preach, I can tell you that God is going to give you the strength that you need to give him the glory, no matter the situation. And if you have a changed heart and a renewed heart, that's what you want anyway. It's the last scripture.
It's Colossians 1. Here is true Christianity. Is it who continue in his love? It is an active thing. It produces good fruit, but it is an abiding in his love.
And I want to be careful that we don't get into works before we get into belief. And as we are doing our works, it is through belief. And it's my completeness in Christ. I'm totally accepted. And I have everything. I have the love of God. I've been chosen by God. I'm redeemed. I'm justified by faith. I'm forgiven. I'm holy. I have the commandments, and I have the power to keep them in the Holy Spirit. I've got it all. I've got everything. Live that way. And you live right now. And you please God. And there's a power that's on the inside to rejoice in any situation. And to bring God glory no matter your tears. And so we don't have to come in the pulpit and make false promises. No. Our promises are real. You will be able to glorify God. That's the promise of us.
That's all he promises. He is no butler. He doesn't serve man. He isn't in the Mercedes ministry. He doesn't care about the visa. If he wants you in the USA, you will be there. And it's okay to pray. But if the answer is no, it's for the glory of God. And he says no all the time. I'm still single. I have no children. I don't have any huge money on American standards. So what? I've got God. Listen to me. If you think that you can only be happy after you're married,
are you right about it? That's the married people.
No, you can be happy in Christ anytime.
Even with an unsaved one.
In the corner of a housetop. It's Colossians 1. It started verse number 9. And we're going to work down to verse number 14 and I'll be done. It's for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. As you see, Paul is always praying, folks. It's not just praying, it's also preaching, but it is praying too. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's why we need this knowledge and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. That's what God cares about more than your health and your wealth. If God, if He wants you to be healthy, is you will be healthy. Take your medicine and pray. If He wants you or me to be sick unto the glory of God, oh, we're going to be sick.
Ask Joe. Hey, Satan.
Yeah?
Ask where you been.
I've been up and down in the earth.
Have you considered my servant Joe? That I hate that guy. He is so blessed. If you take away his blessings, he'll crush you under his face. He's in your hands. Just don't touch his life. Who ruled that conversation? God. Who ordered everything? Who orchestrated? Who used the devil to teach us a lesson that even when everything is upside down, He's still worthy of praise and He keeps. Then He smote Job on his body. He killed his children, his land, his cattle, his wealth. As his wife said, just bless God and die. Just die. That's why you hold on to your integrity. It's worthless. All this obedience unto God is worthless. That's the only thing that the devil left in this man with. Is a murmuring wife. How pain in his bones. Even from head to toe is boiled. Painful boil. But is he in the will of God? Smack down in the middle of it. Is he a righteous man? He's the most righteous man on earth. Is he loved by God at that moment?
Yes.
And by the end of the book, is he understood? I put my hand over my mouth. I repent in blessed and ashes. I should never have murmured at your prayer. And that is when God restored Job. And His friends. God is in control of this world. The things are going to happen that you don't want to happen as a gospel. And I can guarantee that. And He's going to give us the strength to make it happen and to praise God in the middle of it.
that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. If I don't bear fruit, and the Lord said in John chapter 15, I'll be cut off. If my faith is not real, I'm just a fair weather friend. In verse 11, strengthen. This isn't the power I have. This is not something that you and I are able to do ourselves. But we can be strengthened as we know His will, as we get spiritual understanding, as we see the love of God in all things, all situations in Christ, strengthened with might according to His glorious power. Is that enough? Is He able to make us live the Christian life? For all patience and long suffering with joy. Joy is part of my inheritance. Is it yours? Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. But are we? Is our end being the wicked? And are we complaining and are we murmuring about the times and the seasons? If there was a group of people in Nigeria, in that father who had joy no matter what, who loved God and praised God no matter what, with a supernatural power that did not come from him. How would that act as a witness? As a would that testify? As to what that preach unto Muslims and unto other Christians who don't really know God and say there's joy in Christ Jesus, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's power over sin, there's contentment, there's peace that surpasses understanding. And here it is, that's what I'm saying. And my dear brothers and sisters, and I've been there, these things are in our heads and not in our hearts. If we hear them and we quote the word, but we don't experience the power, and this gospel is to be lived, it's real, but the only way I can live this Christian with joy in Nigeria, what they told me is you can't have joy in Nigeria. It's Nigerians, if they told you this, after you get here, which you're going to see how hard it is. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. And the majority of you, if you have it harder here than me, this is a tough country. It's a hard life. But what they told me was that Nigeria was still my joy. Is that possible? If my joy is from a supernatural God, it doesn't matter if it's somewhere else. Homeless, doesn't. If over the gospel, I was homeless in Nigeria. Didn't matter. Even trust. If you lose your money, you can gain money. If you're sick, if you're healthy. If you have what you want, if you don't, if you've got supernatural power of joy on the inside, you're content. Is that what you want? He's giving. And me and you are to live this Christian life. Don't miss all of it.
but know it by experience. And the only way to know is to keep your eyes on the love of Christ.
So, verse number 12 and 14 is the key that explains everything he's saying about this joy. Verse number 12 is giving thanks to the Father, thanks, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm so thankful, no matter what happens, that I'm saved, because it was entirely by grace, or I'd be going to hell.
And I have a question. Do you really understand that if God had not chosen you and me for salvation, that me and you would be going to hell 100% absolutely forever? That's at the bottom of everything I'm saying. If God had not chosen you, would be going to hell for all of eternity, because you never would have chosen us or believed in us, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject unto the law. If the Lord Jesus said, no man can come unto me, as if the Father which has sent me draw on him. It's to come of the church is easy. It's to come into the front of the church, into the waters, by being baptized is easy. But to come unto Jesus Christ is impossible, except from the grace of God. That's why Paul says, I'm giving thanks. And I'm in prison as I'm writing this, but I'm giving thanks. No matter as to what happened, the eternal God has saved my soul. Verse number 13, he had delivered us, he did this, from the power of darkness. I have a new nature, I'm a new creation, and he has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He did this by his power and might. He delivered us from Satan. It was God's doing all by himself. It was not us at all. Verse number 14. In whom, in Jesus Christ, the Son of his love, oh, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul is saying that with all that, and understand that whatever he does in life is because he redeemed, is because he loved, is because he washed me of my sins, it's because I have a new nature, I'm giving thanks unto God, I can handle and tackle any circumstance he throws at me. I can do all things through Christ to strength. It's not natural at all. I don't have any strength at all. That's why I'm looking unto Jesus. And when I see his love, it works in us with power. Now the Lord bless you. And thank you for coming to this first meeting. I hope it was helpful. If you have questions, you're wrong. Out of time, but this is time. If you bring questions,
as you listen, as you think, you ponder, is an open force. And we're not, if we're not ashamed of our lives, it's our mind to speak to our hearts. But I want you to keep the teaching inside of this one. And if you think I'm crazy, don't just sit there angry. Open your mouth. Ask a question. And you can challenge me on the things of God. And then we can look and see if it's so. But if I leave you, I don't want you to say, oh, that makes you crazy. That's just, it's an American song. If he doesn't know, if you're going to say it, because I want you to say it here, and then we can come back, and we can go back to the description. I stand on my God. And everything I'm teaching is from the Bible, it's your word. It's right in your own language. It's just the opening of the scripture. And that's what preaching is. The opening of the text, the opening of the scripture in the life of Christ. If you abide in my life, and without me, he says, you can do nothing.